Lomas del Poleo is a neighborhood in the outskirts of Ciudad Juárez, Chihuahua. For years now, the powerful family Zaragoza has claimed the land where the community is built and has been terrorizing the population to force them to leave. Father Morton from El Paso, Texas, who lived in Lomas de Poleo and has been accompanying the situation for years, spoke to us about the history of the struggle and the latest events. So thank you for being with us here at Radio Zapatista. And we know you've been following the situation there in Lomas de Poleo. I wonder if you could give us a sort of a brief background on what is the situation, what happened there.
Probably the most simple way to understand it is a man named Luis Urbina wanted to settle on this area. There's about 370 hectares of land that border the state of New Mexico. So in 1974, he investigated whether the land was owned by anyone. He spoke by telephone with a man named Pedro Zaragoza Viscaria, who's a very wealthy entrepreneur. Mr. Zaragoza said he didn't know anything about the land, and Mr. Urbina applied to the federal government to settle there, and he invited other people to come up to this Mesa area to settle. And that community existed and increased in number until about 1992. In 1992, the children of Pedro Zaragoza began to go to the court system to try to recapture ownership of this land, which they were never able to do. So in May of 2003, the Zaragozas got the electric company, accompanied by the police, to go up onto the Mesa and literally pull out all of the infrastructure for electricity. Let's say within a week of having pulled the electricity out, the Zaragozas sent a vigilante group, about 300 men, and they settled right at the edge of the community. They would have been ex-prisoners, ex-police, young gang members who were on drugs. They harassed the people 24 hours a day. They made holes in the road. They built a dormitory, and they started building the white cement posts. And they also built a huge metal gate and a guardhouse and a watchtower. So by May of 2004, they sealed the road off again so nobody could get in or out of Lomas de Poleo unless you went past the guard tower.
So basically, this is sort of like concentration camp, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Where people are locked up in their own neighborhood and they have to ask permission to go in and out of their own place of living.
Exactly, because what they were doing was kind of terrorizing the people, so it becomes more and more difficult to sustain your living on the land. And you have to be living on the land in order to get these titles from the federal government. And then the Grupo Zaragoza employees, the gang, whatever you want to call them, that were living up there, they were knocking down a house, and they had a confrontation with four men who were living up on the Mesa. And about 45 of the Zaragoza workers set upon the men. One man was beaten so badly he died about 24 hours later. There was also a house was burnt down, and there were two children, Magdaleno and Armencita.
What is the interest behind all of this? Why are the Zaragoza so interested in this piece of land, in complicity with the city government, in this state government? Right?
Yeah. One of the main things is that this 370-hectare piece of land, which if you're most Americans think in terms of acres, so that's about almost 1,000 acres of land, it borders New Mexico. I became aware that there was a much bigger development project between the city of Juarez, El Paso, and New Mexico. And this was not like a small project. This is something that involved billions of dollars and it involved players like Pedro Zaragoza, Eloy Baena, William Sanders, the governments of Chihuahua, the governments of New Mexico, and that these people had very detailed plans to create a new port of entry right on the land that Zaragoza was trying to get.
What's the situation right now? We've heard news of recent developments that have been very alarming. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. There was a lawyer who had been involved in the case. His name was Carlos Avitia. And in June, he was murdered. He came out of the court. He went to his car and a Jeep Cherokee with tinted windows went by his car, lowered the windows, and they basically decapitated Avitia. They shot his head off. That sent a real shudder of fear through people. 2 weeks ago on Saturday, the Zaragoza guards knocked down two houses of people who were living up there, and then they sent a group of gang people. They had shovels and sticks and stuff like that because they wanted to remove the rubble from the couple's house so that there would be no evidence that the house had ever been there. So, I mean, the people were really under a state of siege. This past Monday, the 6th of October, various nonprofit groups in Juarez put together a paid advertisement in the newspaper El Diario saying what all of these various violations of human rights and law were and accusing the Zaragoza brothers Pedro and Jorge Zaragoza of being behind all of this violence and intimidation. And apparently the Zaragozas were very upset by this paid advertisement. So the next day in the newspaper, they tried to rebut all the accusations in the paper. And two of the people who have been very involved in accompanying the people on the Mesa, they live in a different part of Juarez. The day after this paid advertisement came out, the people from Zeta Gas is owned by Jorge Zaragoza. They went to this couple's house and they said, "We have an order to remove your gas meter and to cut off the gas because it hasn't been paid." But of course, it's been paid. They had all of their receipts. So they felt for sure that that was an act of intimidation by the Zaragozas, saying, like, "We know who you are. We know where you live."
Yeah, you know, our listeners should know that that letter was signed nationally in Mexico and internationally. And we heard from the people in Greece, a lot of people in Europe, in Spain, in France, and so on. And there is a very large number of organizations who said that they are ready to begin actions. The people in Europe are following this very closely and are ready to begin doing actions to show the Mexican government that this case in Ciudad Juarez is not isolated, it's not alone, and there is international visibility. What would you tell our listeners? What can people do to try to help?
I think the first thing is just to know about what's going on. So I'm very grateful that your radio program has given publicity in the past and is giving it today. And we do believe that if they contact, for example, the governor of New Mexico, the private companies like Sanders, it's called Verde Realty. Zaragoza has his milk company, Lucerna Milk, Grupo Zaragoza, Zeta Gas, you know, to go directly to companies, email them, fax them, call them, say, "We know what's going up on the Mesa in Lomas de Poleo and it has to stop." And of course, going to whatever kind of representation you have from the Mexican government. And also to keep track, there's a website called Paso del Sur, and if there's any kind of a concerted action to do something, it would probably be posted on his website as well.
And we have a link to that website and other sources of information at our website in Radio Zapatista, is www.radiozapatista.org. Father Morton, thank you very much for being with us and doing this interview and helping us spread the word of this terrible situation down in Ciudad Juarez.
You're very welcome, and thank you for having me on your show, and thank you for inviting so many people to offer their concern and support for the people under siege in Lomas de Poleo.
This is Radio Zapatista, Chiapas, No Se Olvida.